My name is Amanda, and I'm here with my lovely mother.
I'm Jeanette.
And today we're going to be creating our perfect Disney park. So this is a few other Disney podcasts have done this in the past. So we're following the format. I will link below the other podcasts where I found this from. This is from Disneyville, which is with Jessica and Tyler Braun. So they did this on their podcast a couple months ago, I guess at this point. But there are a couple of rules. So essentially you're creating your perfect Disney park according to these rules. So I'm going to read the rules out loud. And then me and my mom are going to go through basically how we crafted our, like I say in quotes, perfect Disney park. And I want you also to think as you're listening, how would you, what would you create? What would you, change? Which lands would you pick? Those kind of stuff. So, all right, the rules. So from us, we decided to do from current or past Disney. So you can pick items that's from like Disney's past that's no longer there. So shows that retired, attractions that have closed, things like that. We decided to open it up to create our perfect Disney park, regardless if it's actually currently in the Disney parks or not. We only did Disney World since we're not super familiar with Disneyland or Disney California Adventure Park or the other international parks. So only Disney World. Pick one land, five rides, two shows, two attractions, two table service restaurants, two quick service restaurants, one parade, one nighttime show, and one gift shop. And for the land, that first one land, we were kind of picking for aesthetic. So it wasn't that you were getting everything in that land. You were picking the aesthetic of the land to be in your park, essentially. So yeah, so that's kind of how we're going to play the game, so to speak. And this is the same rules that Tyler and Jessica had used in their podcast a few months ago. So we're just copying them, basically. But I thought this was really fun when they did it. So that's why I thought it'd be fun for us to do it. So, all right, what was the one land that you picked, Mom?
Okay, we're going to do it one and one, like each one? Okay. Yeah. All right. This was fun for me too, because when you first mentioned it, I was like, oh my God, I have to think about this. But then once you start thinking about it, you say, oh wow, wouldn't that be cool if everything was in one place? But anyway, my land, of course, Animal Kingdom, because I like the aesthetic of it. I like walking around.
No, which land in Animal Kingdom?
Oh, it has to be which land.
Yeah, it's like a land, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I got that wrong first. Okay. Mine was, oh, that's the park. Okay, which land? Which is the one? Africa.
You would pick Africa?
Africa.
Okay.
Africa, the aesthetic of Africa and into China, but Africa is my aesthetic. Just the liveliness of being in Harambe Square, just the tropical feel of being around Africa, the fact that the Kilimanjaro Safari is in Africa, that would be my land then. I'm definitely an Animal Kingdom park, and Africa would be my land. It would have that background and that atmosphere.
Yeah, for sure. I also picked from Animal Kingdom as well. That's really funny that we both picked it land in Animal Kingdom. I picked Asia.
Okay.
So I talk about this a lot, but I love the Asian land in Animal Kingdom. I think the way it's crafted is so clever. It's so immersive. There is so much storytelling behind it. For instance, the Yakking Yeti restaurant that's in the Asia land, it has a whole backstory behind it. That whole area has a full rich backstory that Disney basically just made up just for that land. And I love that. Again, I know I talk a lot about Expedition Everest, again, the leading up to Expedition Everest too, of the immersiveness and the cultural significance they have there. And I just love it. So that's kind of the same reasons why too, that I just think Asia is such a great land. I really do love the Asian land.
Well, yeah, because if you're talking about aesthetics, it's like when you're walking around, there's just so much going on around
for sure.
You.
It's and like there's so much detail.
Right. You know? When you said get the aesthetics, that's the first thing that popped into my head was, you know, Animal Kingdom. There's so much aesthetics going on and different things going on and just the feel of where you are.
Yeah, for sure. Did you have like a second choice idea that you had?
No. Animal Kingdom was like I jumped right in and said, oh, that's easy. First one's easy. Done.
Yeah. I'll say Asia was also pretty easy for me to pick quickly. But I will say my second choice was Galaxy's Edge, just because I think similar to Asia, but in a fictional sense, Galaxy's Edge is extremely immersive to Star Wars. Yeah. I love how immersive that land is in the Star Wars universe. And I just think it's so cool. And I love being there.
Well, I think
but
if you had
just fully fictional,
I think if I had to
sense.
Pick a second choice, it would be somewhere in Epcot, like around the pavilion.
Yeah,
that would be my second choice. Mm-hmm. But really, that doesn't
I
have...
didn't think about that, too. I wasn't sure if the World Showcase counted as like one large.
Yeah,
land.
That would be my second choice. But if I had my choice to put everything in one place, then the feel of the Animal Kingdom in Africa and all that around there would be my
yeah, that's
my
me
best,
too. I would want the feel
the best
of Asia.
Of both worlds. Let's put it that way.
The feel of Asia for sure. Mm-hmm. So, all right, what is your first ride?
The safari. The
Kilimanjaro Safari. Yep.
Yep. Kilimanjaro Safari would be my first ride to put in any park.
Yeah. And my first is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway
of
Railway. Us just going with our top rides.
That one didn't even make my top five.
Ride. Oh, no, that's
although,
okay. Yeah.
Although this one was hard because there are so many that I love that I kept crossing out and adding and crossing out and doing.
It is hard because it's like at a certain point, I'll speak after I do all five of my rides. I'm like, well, this ride didn't make it. I'm like, but I need that ride. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I can't switch out what I have already. So it is hard. All right. What's your second ride then?
Pandora.
Oh, Flight of Passage.
Yep. I do love that one.
I didn't realize you love Flight of Passage that much.
I do. I like Flight of Passage. I do love getting on that ride and doing that.
So far, you're just going to Animal Kingdom. Yes. You're not even making a perfect park.
Well,
you're just
going as to we've Animal known Kingdom. From listening to a year's worth of podcasts, that I'm in love with Animal Kingdom. And a lot of the stuff that goes on in there, I'm in love with. So,
well, I'm also an Animal Kingdom for this. I have Expedition Everest. Mm-hmm. So as I was just mentioned, I think this is the best roller coaster in a general sense across all roller coasters. I just love this whole story behind Expedition Everest, from before you even get on the ride to when you're actually in the queue for the ride to when you get on the ride. You know, just the whole storytelling in general. I just love Expedition Everest. So I would have to have that in my park for sure. Right, what's your third?
Small World. It's a small world. I had to put it in there. Yeah. I mean, I just can't go without it.
I also have It's a Small World too, because I really wanted some kind of classic Disney ride. And I feel like It's a Small World is such a classic, like Fantasyland type ride.
Yes.
Right?
It's not that like people say, oh my God, that ride. Yes. You don't understand. It is like memories. It is just my childhood. It is my growing up.
Yeah, it has a lot of sentimental memories.
Yes. It is my taking my kids to being with you and being on it and doing all the stuff with it. And just the whole idea of It's a Small World, I would be so upset if that were to disappear.
No,
I would
for
just
sure.
really be upset.
That's why I have it on mine too. And I think also when a lot of people think of Disneyland or Disney World, I feel like people kind of think of It's a Small World, like that color, that aesthetic of It's a Small World, the Fantasyland type feel. I think that's what immediately comes to mind. And I think It's a Small World is the ride that wraps all that up into one ride.
Yes. So that's just, we can't live without it. Yeah, so it had to be there in there.
Yeah, also had It's a Small World too. All right, what's number four?
Soarin'.
Okay.
I like Soarin'. I just like Soarin' because I think that when I first went on Soarin', it brought me to places that I will never see up close.
Yeah.
And the perspective that it gives you when you're going over the Arctic and you're going over the India and you're going over all these places and the Wall of China that I'm never going to see up close and never see with that perspective.
Yeah, no, for sure. Soarin' was one of the rides that didn't make my top five here, but that's the one I was thinking of. I was like, how is Soarin' not on my list? Because I agree. I think Soarin' is such a great ride. I think it's so fun. And again, you're seeing these areas of the world that, again, specifically for Soarin' around the world, you're seeing areas of the world that you may never see.
Right.
You
know? I'm never going to see these parts of the world. I could tell you. It's not going
to
happen.
Especially from that angle. Like, for instance, like maybe I will go to India and I will see the Taj Mahal. I'm not going to see the Taj Mahal from like a flying angle.
No. And even if you saw pictures, like, you know, there's millions of pictures of these places that you look at and you say, like, even when you go to the 360 in China, the pictures, it's not the same. It's not the same as you're soaring over it and looking down on what's going on and it's moving doing and it's just amazing.
Yeah. Even soaring over California is so great to see California and that, like, and that diversity.
Yeah, because we've seen California and it's not the same.
Yeah,
right.
I also love that one as well. All right. My number four was Pirates of the Caribbean. So Pirates of the Caribbean, I would say, was my favorite Disney World ride for many, many years until Mickey and Minnie's Railway came out. In, what was it, 2019 it opened or something? So yeah, so Pirates of the Caribbean had to have that. I was going to say too, I really wanted a classic dark ride as well. So It's a Small World, it kind of is a dark ride for the most part. So I kind of have two water dark rides.
Right.
I love Pirates of the Caribbean. It's always been my favorite. It always, I think, will be one of my favorites. So I absolutely had to have that there. Just the smell of the water. We all love that smell. That watery smell. Even the burning fire smell too. It's one of the best ones. All the greatest smells. I guess if I could pick a specific Pirates of the Caribbean, I think I would want the one that's in Disneyland versus the one in Magic Kingdom, because that one has the two drops. It has a little bit more of a different, like, little path, I would say, the boat takes.
Yeah.
I like that they also have, is that the one with the restaurant that has it?
California.
Yeah, I was going to say, they have the restaurant when you're on the ride. Yes. You see the restaurant, the Blue Bayou restaurant. So yeah, so I think that's really cool too. And in Disneyland Paris, their Pirates of the Caribbean also has a restaurant that's in the ride. So I kind of like that as well. I think that's super cool. So if I had to pick specifically, I picked the Disneyland version, but I do love the classic Pirates. Magic Kingdom version too, since that's the one I grew up with. Okay, and what's your final ride?
Well, Pirates made my
Pirates
list.
Pirates are nice,
There were so many other things, like, you know, so many other things that we do here, there, and everywhere. In Epcot, different places, they kept getting crossed out and moved and back and forth.
For sure.
And I went with classic.
Yeah.
I went with the classic too. You know, Pirates is a classic ride. It's been there since the beginning. It's something that...
Even in the queue, I love.
Yes. It's just been there since the beginning. It's a story. It's just everything about it. You know, even when Johnny Depp played it on the movie, I was just, you know, I just loved his character. I just loved everything about it. So Pirates had to make the list. I crossed everything else out and that's what made the list. Yeah. I'm telling you, I could have made a park with like 10 rides.
I know, right?
But...
Okay, my final ride is Spaceship Earth. So I had to put Spaceship Earth in here.
That one kept coming on and off.
Yeah, if you know, my Etsy shop is called Spaceship Earth Design, because I was just picking my, you know, one of the best rides, another classic Disney World ride. Spaceship Earth is also so unique because that's the only one in existence. You know, that's the only one in Epcot. That's it. There's no other Spaceship Earth in any of the other parks around the world. And I think that's just so cool in a way that it's like, we do have that uniqueness to it in that sense, especially since a lot of things in Magic Kingdom are repeated, you know,
a lot of things
at Hollywood Studios are repeated, and that's totally fine. I love that as well. Yeah, I just love Spaceship Earth. I love that storytelling of of like the, I guess, what's the anthropology or the anthropology or, yeah, it's anthropology. It's the story of humans, right?
Humans.
It's archaeology. It's the story of, I always confuse anthropology and archaeology because they're quite similar. It's like what humans interacted with.
Interact, yes.
Yeah. It's like what humans created rather than anthropology is actually humans.
Structures and lands and all the different things.
Yeah, but I love seeing that history of like evolution, you know, mm-hmm. throughout the years of like human evolution. And I just think it's so great. And so I know they have been saying, you know, before COVID, they were going to refurbish the ride and mm-hmm. make it more updated since it does end kind of in the early 2000s. And at this point, that was, you know, over 20 years ago. So I do get that it's outdated at this point. So a lot of people
complain about that. But even outdated, it's got so much behind it that,
yeah, I still think it has a lot of good structure to it mm-hmm. that, I don't know, I feel like I don't even know what I would want to change in it. I wouldn't really change anything personally.
Well, I think young kids coming into it probably would need to have more when they get to the end, something closer to what.
But I almost feel like it works because mm-hmm. I think young kids today, they're growing up with technology. So it's kind of seeing the world before the technology started. And I think that's beneficial as well because I think it's very hard in school. I feel like school is always focused on, you know, older history, right? It's like you learn about ancient history, mm-hmm. you learn about like the beginning of the world, you know, things like that. And you learn about modern history, but not contemporary history. Mm-hmm. So I remember when I was in school, it's like I didn't really learn about, I'd say, history in from like the 70s, 80s, or 90s, you know, because it was almost as if I was expected to know that because I was born in the 90s.
Right.
But I never learned about what happened in the 80s until I was, you know, in my 20s because I was never taught that formally in school because everyone else adult-wise lived it, but I didn't live that.
Right.
But I also wasn't taught it. And then you're just expected to know this. So I think sometimes learning about that, you know, closer to, you know, maybe like 20, 30 years ago, history is important because, you know, otherwise you don't really learn it unless you just kind of teach it on yourself or you just learn it organically.
Well, I think that
life.
They tried to update also by putting that the interactive stuff
in the
car that you do, where it shows you where you can live in a place has the ecological mm-hmm. effects, where you want to live in a city
thing.
Or you want to live in the country or you want to live in the different places. It shows you the different ecological and advancements that can happen.
Yeah, for
sure. So that kind of like adds a little bit to the end of saying, well, look, this
is
like
we're still going
happen.
Into the future.
Right.
So for sure. But I love Spaceship Earth. Mm-hmm. I will always love Spaceship Earth. Yeah, but that was my five rides and your five rides. So that sounds good. So what do you have any rides that didn't make the list that you're really sad?
Well, Spaceship Earth was the land didn't make it. So that was one of the other ones.
Oh, Living with the Land?
Yeah, Living with the Land.
Yeah, that was another one too. I was sad that
because I just love seeing it. I mean, it's the same every time you go, except that they now add different like
the overlays for the festivals.
The overlays.
Yes.
And I like the overlays because it does bring in different ideas when they do the overlays. Mm-hmm. And Christmas is just so entertaining when you go through there and
it has
all the Christmas
and
the festivals and stuff. But the land, Spaceship Earth, those were two that kept coming on and off. And should I put them in? Should I take them out? Should I put them in?
Yeah, Living with the Land was another one too that mm-hmm. I thought about that I probably would have made the list, but mm-hmm. again, it just kind of got booted off with some of these other ones.
Right.
That was hard. The other one too that I wanted to add was Haunted Mansion because I do think
Haunted Mansion is such a classic ride. As much as I love Haunted Mansion,
I picked Pirates over Haunted Mansion.
It just couldn't hold up to the others.
That's kind of basically what happened there. All the roller coasters for me were really hard, although Expedition Everest is my favorite roller coaster.
See, I don't go on the roller coaster.
So I was like, I'm only going to pick one roller coaster or else I could have just done five roller coasters.
Right. See, that's
not roller coasters.
I had it easier in that, the fact that the roller coasters didn't make it for me because I don't do them. They make
all
me nauseous.
Like all the thrill rides, like even Tower of Terror. Tower of Terror is a big one that I do love. I think that's such a classic thrill ride that I was like, oh, I didn't
I'm surprised
make
Guardians
it.
Didn't make it.
No, because I don't like the theming of Cosmic Rewind. I like the roller coaster itself, but the theming, I'm just not a big Guardians of the Galaxy fan. I think if that ride was themed to a different Marvel character, I would like it better. Again, there's lots of copyright issues with, you know, within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's why Disney can and cannot do certain things with those characters.
Right.
But yeah, I do like the ride itself, but I don't really like the theming of the ride. So that's just where I stand on that. So, all right, let's go on to our shows. What's the first show that you picked?
Oh, the Enchanted Tiki Room.
Okay, yeah. Oh my gosh, I forgot about the Enchanted Tiki Room.
Yeah, Enchanted Tiki Room. That's my
favorite.
Wait,
now I want to change one of mine.
Okay, go ahead. But you got time to change. Enchanted Tiki Room. It was so funny because when Amanda first called me and said, look, you got to do work for this podcast. You got to do this. You got to do
work.
It was last night and I was like, oh my God, I'm tired. Yeah. Do I have to do this? I'm tired. I can't think.
Well,
I can't think.
Last
night
when I showed up an hour ago being like, all right, strap in, get your notes ready.
Because you can. There's so much. There's just so much that you say, okay, what about this? And all of a sudden 50 million things go through your head.
Yeah.
So I sat down and I said, oh, shows. And I said, oh, Enchanted Tiki Room. It's my favorite. I kind of like the older one better, but I don't dislike the new one either.
Yeah, like the one with the Iago.
Yes, I like that one. I thought it was entertaining. I liked the whole ending. I liked when the music when they came up. The goddess came up. I liked that like tone I liked at the end with that music and stuff. So I think that's what I missed was that music at the end and stuff. I don't mind the new one. I just love the Enchanted Tiki Room. I have to go to it. We go to it every time we go to Epcot.
No, I love the
Enchanted
Tiki
Room too.
Yeah. The song, I always say this a lot. The song songs that the flowers sing. That's my favorite song. I think about that song a lot. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I forgot about the Enchanted Tiki Room. Because I knew, I was thinking, because I didn't want to do everything just from Magic Kingdom. Because I feel like most of the good shows that I like are in Magic Kingdom. So I was like, okay, most of the shows I like are there. So I was like, I had one. So my first show was Carousel of Progress. Carousel of Progress has always been my favorite show within all the parks. I love Carousel of Progress. I love the song in Carousel of Progress. Mm-hmm. I actually put that on my graduation cap when I graduated from college. But yeah, I've always loved Carousel of Progress, always will. And so yeah, so that was that one I knew was going to make it. And then the second show, it was hard for me to pick, honestly, because I couldn't pick a second show. What did you pick for your second
show? I forgot about Carousel of Progress. See, when you just said that, I said, oh, that's right. Because, you know, I was telling Amanda when she got here today that when I did it, I did some last night and then this morning I kind of fine-tuned it. But when I was trying to think of it, rides, shows, and attractions kind of melded together similar. When you're trying to figure out which one is which. And to me, I would think Carousel of Progress was more of, I guess I thought of it more as a ride than a show.
Because it moves.
So it kind of like didn't go in when I was thinking of shows. So my second show was Festival of the Lion King.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because when we saw it, it was so energetic and it was so good. And as I love everything to do with the Lion King in Africa, it was very entertaining. And I thought that that was a nice show to sit through.
Yeah,
I forgot all about Carousel of Progress. See, if we had three shows, I would definitely put the Carousel of Progress
on
there.
Well, maybe we can cheat right now and do three.
Yes, we'll do three.
I have three right now because I am going to do Enchanted Tiki Room for my second one. I did think about a Festival of the Lion King as well because I did really love the Festival of the Lion King. But if I had to pick two, I think it would be Carousel of Progress and the Enchanted Tiki Room because I also love the Enchanted Tiki Room. It's something that I grew up with going. I love the little birds in it.
Yeah, we would just have to squeeze a third show into our park.
Yeah, so for your third show, you try to do Carousel of Progress.
Carousel of Progress, because like you said, you forgot about Tiki Room. I forgot about Carousel of Progress.
So for my third show, then basically, I had done a little throwback. So this is no longer in the parks, but I had picked it because I wanted something different and something that was also Star Wars related, since nothing else I have is Star Wars related. And this would be the March of the First Order. So this show is no longer.
Is that the one I liked?
Yes, it is. Yes. So this used to be, it didn't have like a showtime or anything like that within Hollywood Studios, but periodically every few hours, they would basically have the stormtroopers march down, I think the Hollywood Boulevard. They'd march down Hollywood Boulevard up to like the stage that they used to have in the middle. And they'd do a whole little show in the stage, like with the stormtroopers. And it was such a cool show, honestly.
It was.
A lot of people really loved it. And post-COVID world, it has not come back yet. Well, really post-Galaxy's Edge world, it has not come back yet.
I think we talked about that once before.
We did, yes.
Like it was one of my memories or something when we talked about it last year. And I got to tell you, you know that I'm not a Star Wars fan. And when I saw those guys, it like sent tingles up my spine when they came down
that
street.
Yeah, it's just so cool. And it's just, it was such a formal procession that I feel like in America, we don't see a lot of formal processions like that in our day-to-day lives. Also very ominous in a way, because you don't, I mean, like they're holding fake guns, but it's like, you know, it's like very scary in that sense where it's like everyone's just silent watching this happen. And I just thought it was such a cool show. And I think they can bring that back in Galaxy's Edge because they do have the little First Order area over there. So I feel like one day they should bring that back in Galaxy's Edge and have that show again in Galaxy's Edge. So I wonder if it's just, you know, timing and, you know, figuring out and logistics and stuff like that.
The logistics of the crowds and getting them through there. And because I'm telling you, it made everybody
stop. And I thought it was such a unique show too, since it just happened right in the middle of the streets and people just parted the ways, you know? It wasn't like you
everybody
signed up to go
stopped.
See it. It just happened
because I think
your
we
eyes.
Caught it on like,
we
wasn't like
we
expected
were just walking around.
We were just walking around and all of a sudden we heard the music and I was like, what's that? And I watched them come down that street and get, you know, I was just mesmerized.
Yeah, for sure. All right. What is your first attraction? So we kind of classified attractions as not rides and not shows that you like watch necessarily, but things that either was like kind of a walkthrough attraction or something else. So.
First one was Maharaja Jungle Truck.
Okay, nice. Oh, I didn't even think of that one. I should have done that
I thought that as an attraction, I thought that was really
cool.
Yeah,
for sure. I agree. Yeah, I love that as well. Mm-hmm. That's the Asia Truck in Animal Kingdom.
If I had my park, I would love to have that place to just go walk around and just be able to just kind of just veg out and walk around and see the animals and the birds and the different things that they have in there and just enjoy
the aviation room.
Yeah, just enjoy that
the
track.
Aviary room. Yes. No, I agree. I can't believe I forgot about now I kind of want to do that instead of
damn, my mind was working. It was working.
My first one I had was The Journey of Water in Epcot.
Oh, yeah. See, well, you like that because you went and did all the interactive stuff.
I did,
as much as I thought it was beautiful, I didn't do all the interactive stuff.
Yeah, I did it all the first time and the second time we went through. I did it every single one. I thought it was super fun. And I will say, too, I was really surprised, I would say overall, that everyone's so respectful when you walk through it.
Yeah, everybody was very nice.
Yeah, there are a lot of stations for the interactions, not just like one station you have to wait online for. There's lots of little stations.
I also like the idea that they had a place where people who didn't want to interact
could
walk
wet.
Through and not hold up the people who wanted to interact, but at the same time see everything.
Yeah. But yeah, but I found when I was walking through it, everyone, you know, they would play with the water a little bit, they do the interaction, and then they would move on. You know, no one was like hogging one for like 10, 20 minutes or anything like that, and you were waiting forever to try to do the interaction as well.
No, it was pretty good.
Yeah, so I thought it was really fun. I think it's extremely educational about the water cycle and like how humans interact with water and how the environment itself, you know, relies on water and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think extremely educational. There's lots of things you can learn from it at your own pace, which I think is really great. Like I almost kind of wish I lived in Central Florida, and then, you know, you do a field trip to there and you do a whole thing about the water cycle, like within there. Like if you could close it down for one school to do like maybe 2 hours in the overall area or something, because it is extremely educational. And that's what I really love about it. And I feel like that's also the super crux of Epcot, especially that Epcot is educational in a way that you don't realize you're learning.
Right.
You know, you walk around the pavilions, for instance, and you're learning about a different culture that is not American culture. And you don't even realize that you're really learning about that culture.
You think you're just having a good time.
Yeah, you learn about it organically. Even Journey of Water, it's all Moana themed. So you hear the Moana music, there's Moana characters lightly throughout, but it's still focused on that idea of like what water is and, you know, the cycle of water. And that's why I love the Journey of Water. Water is great. All right, what's your second attraction?
The Butterfly Garden in Epcot.
Oh, during the festival of the...
Yeah, I love that. Like I said, I like these experiences that are not crazy like the rides or crazy with all the, you know, the lines and the things and the stuff
too,
and the things. I just like the idea that when you go through those beaded doors, that you go in there and the butterflies are just flying around. We do butterfly farms everywhere we go.
We do, yeah. We've been to many butterflies.
Every place we go, we've been to ones in the islands. We've been to the one in Florida, down in the Key West, which now has a Flamingo Friday, which I wish I was down there for. We do the butterfly farms wherever they are. And this, but we did the New York Botanical Garden ones. I love them. And the fact that they have one that you can just leave the craziness and walk through those beads and
it's so cool. And again, another educational thing that you don't realize.
It shows you how they grow, how they feed, how they do everything. I mean, it's beautiful. You got beautiful flowers. You got beautiful butterflies. It's just peaceful. I like that.
I do love it. My other attraction, now I want to do the Maharaja track as well. The one I had originally picked was the piano player in front of Casey's Corner. And the reason why I had picked the piano player is because I think that's so fun. I love the idea of that live. I was between him and the Dapper Dans, if I'm being honest, because I just think the idea of that live music in the parks organically is so great. I think that's so fun. You don't have to go listen to the piano player. You don't have to go listen to the Dapper Dans. But then as you're walking around, you hear them in the background and you're like, where's that fun music coming from? And I just think, I love that so much. And I think he always plays like great music, obviously. It's always Disney music or like Disney tunes or like Disney instrumentals. I don't know, I just love it. I just thought that was a really fun, like kind of more, I'd say, background attraction almost, that you don't even pay attention to or don't even listen to, but I just think holds a lot of that Disney-esque within it. So that's kind of what I had picked for that. All right, now let's get to some food. What was your first table service restaurant?
Oh, Yak and Yeti.
You put Yak and Yeti?
That is my favorite. I tell you, we don't eat there as often as I would like to, because we usually never stay in Animal Kingdom at night for dinner.
Yeah.
And I find that when we did go for lunch, then I was just too full all day.
Because you ate a lot of food at lunch.
Yes, the food was so good that you have to finish it because it's so good. And we don't eat that heavy during the day. So I found that it's hard to go to Yak and Yeti for us, but I just love Yak and Yeti. I do. Yeah. I just, anytime we have a chance to go there, that's the restaurant I would pick.
I will say Yak and Yeti was my second restaurant. I also picked Yak and Yeti.
I wish Yak and
well.
Yeti was in one of the other parks that we go to and stay at night.
I agree. I do really like Yak and Yeti. And I think what the best part about Yak and Yeti is, so we both love Asian food just off the bat, but Yak and Yeti does have American food. Yes. On their menu. And I think that's a really great part of it too, is that you're going to Yak and Yeti and let's say you have a kid or a family member who doesn't really like Asian food. That's fair. It's a very specific type of genre of food. There is American food on the menu. You can just get, you know, a burger and french fries.
Right.
And, you know, you can trim down one of the chicken dishes without a sauce and just have like fried chicken.
Right.
And I think that's one of the best things about Yak and Yeti, is that everyone can still kind of eat there to a certain extent. I would still check the menu just in case. I agree. I think Yak and Yeti has great food, great service. I love being in the restaurant. They have so many
artifacts.
Yeah,
it's got great atmosphere. We've never had
Asia.
A bad meal. We've never had bad service. We've never walked out of there going, oh God, that was a disappointment. I've always walked out of there going, oh, I missed this restaurant.
They also have the children's souvenir cup with the panda. And it's called Amanda the Panda souvenir cup, which I think is really funny. Every time I see it, I forget that that's what it's called. I'm like, I guess that makes sense. But one day I should probably get the Amanda the Panda souvenir cup and carry it around with me. But I also picked Yak and Yeti as well. That was my second one. But all right, what is your second one then?
My second one is Bianapoli. Because I figured if I was going to have my own park, as much as I love Yak and Yeti, if I wanted like variety, Bianapoli has everything. It has pizza, it has pasta, it has a couple of different entrees, salads, things that I like to
eat.
If I was going to an Italian restaurant, a lot of time I want a salad and pizza, just a pizza person. They do have pasta with the meatballs, so it has everything in Bianapoli that you can get anywhere else, and I think that would be great for me to have that choice.
Yeah, for sure. I had picked Tutto Italia, so I feel like that's no shock either to anyone. I talk about it all the time that this is my favorite restaurant in Epcot and in the parks in general. but kind of for the same reasons. Again, I love Italian food. Mm-hmm. So Italian food's always been my number one genre food, and then probably American food and then Asian food, but it's a bit hard depending upon the day, honestly. But Italian has always
been the day we're on. Depends upon what I feel like.
I eat pasta, guys, every day. For the most part, every day I'm eating pasta. You know, I love pasta. Yeah. So, and I think their pasta with red sauce is one of my absolute favorites.
I can't find out because I've looked up and sort of, I wonder if the sauce that they make for Via Napoli is the same sauce they're making for
Italian. Honestly, it's hard because when we go to Via Napoli, I tend not to get pasta. We do get pizza.
We'll have to go there one time and you'll have to get the pasta.
Yeah, and I'll get the pasta instead and see if it's the same. I'm not sure though, honestly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do love Tutto Italia. I do love the atmosphere too. It's very like Italian-esque, you know, it's a very classic Italian restaurant, you know, nothing too crazy. No. I kind of like Via Napoli's atmosphere better. Yes. That more open air, the high ceilings.
Yeah, Via Napoli's more of a bustling kind of cafe.
Yeah,
Italian
I definitely
cafe
like Via Napoli
feel.
Better, but, yes. but I do like Tutto Italia as well. Right, what were your like honorable mentions for table service restaurants?
I don't have any. I just went up with my two.
Oh, that's okay. I had one that I was going back and forth with that I really wanted to add, but didn't. What? And that was Les Cellier.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. I have it crossed out right here.
You thought about Les Cellier too.
It was going to be Yak and Yeti and Les Cellier. And then I said, no, Les Cellier is really heavy food, technically heavier food. And so is Yak and Yeti. So I went with the Via Napoli because if it was my favorite park, then I wanted something where I could go and have a pizza.
No, I did the same thing, honestly, because I realized Les Cellier and Tutto Italia have, again, the heavier foods, I feel like, in my head. Les Cellier, their macaroni and cheese, phenomenal.
Yeah,
their French
I had
fries,
Les Cellier
phenomenal.
Down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like their foods, all the food at Les Cellier was absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I thought their food was so good, but I also think the food at Tutto Italia is just as good. Mm-hmm. So I end up going with Tutto Italia. Well, I think I'm going to do a whole podcast episode on Les Cellier. Well, like, I'll do a whole restaurant episode on them. Mm-hmm. We did have a really bad service experience two times.
I have not had, the last two or three times I've been to Les Cellier,
I would say not necessarily the service,
entering,
the waiters.
Entering
it's like the organization.
Yes, they are very bad.
It's not good.
Very, very. You walk into that meal already pissed off. When you sit down and you have the meal and you have your service from your servers, it's always very good.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. The people are always very nice. Right. It's like the organization on the back end.
Just get ready to be really annoyed before you sit down.
And some people don't have that problem. So I feel like maybe it's just us that has that problem.
I don't know.
Some other people said they never experienced that.
No, we just lucked out the last two or three times.
But that's kind of why I chose not to go with Les Cellier. Yeah. But I did really like Les Cellier as well. So I kind of thought about that. Okay, let's go to our quick service. What was your first quick service?
Cosmic Rays.
You did Cosmic Rays.
I love Cosmic Rays. Yeah. I do. I love Cosmic Rays. I love the atmosphere.
I like Cosmic Rays as well.
I love when they have the people, that choirs that are singing. I love when they have that guy that comes up and does his little thing. It's just funny. But I love the food. The chicken fingers are phenomenal. If I want that kind of snack, chicken fingers, french fries, phenomenal.
For sure. I did think about adding Cosmic Rays as well because I was looking to have that more classic like chicken fingers, french fries feel. I end up not picking Cosmic Rays though for any of my quick services. But I do agree. I do like Cosmic Rays as well. And I will say as well, their children's mac and cheese on the kids menu is one of the better mac and cheeses I've really had like in the parks as well. Les Cellier's is definitely way better. But that's obviously a table service restaurant. It's like gourmet mac and cheese. But for kids mac and cheese, Cosmic
Rays
is
one of the best. How is Les Cellier's, before we even get to quick service, how is Les Cellier's mac and cheese compared to Steakhouse 71's mac and cheese?
Oh, that's a good question. I think they're quite comparable, I would say, overall. They're both very good. I feel like I'd have to have them like almost side by side to tell, because now I haven't had Steakhouse 71.
I know you love Steakhouse 71's mac and cheese.
Theirs
and
is also very good. Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to think now. I'm honestly not really too sure.
See, I don't usually get mac and cheese. That's really heavy.
Yeah,
so
I usually
don't get it because I'm having a regular meal besides having the mac and cheese would be too much for me.
I think honestly, I may say Les Cellier because of the pasta shape, because they have that, it's kind of like this little skinny little pasta almost.
Oh, okay.
And Steakhouse 71 does cavatappi, and I like cavatappi as well. That's a good pasta shape, but I kind of like those little skinny pastas that they kind of had. I don't know exactly what they're called, but in Les Cellier.
But they're comparable, but you think Les Cellier
definitely comparable. They're both definitely very good too. So it's hard. But I will say, I think I liked my overall dining experience at Steakhouse 71 better than Les Cellier. So I think I would still pick Steakhouse 71 over Les Cellier.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I do like my dining experience there better overall. So it's hard though. That's a tough question for sure. It's hard when you're comparing two great mac and cheeses.
Yes, two great mac and cheeses. Okay.
All right. My first quick service, I had La Cantina de San Angel, which is the quick service in the Mexican Pavilion.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the guacamole and the chips.
Yes, I will say I switched this one out for Lotus Blossom Cafe originally, because I originally had Lotus Blossom Cafe until I picked Yak and Yeti. Then I was like, well, I already have Asian in my park, so I'm going to pick Mexican food. So that way I can get my guacamole and chips if I want to. I can get my margarita if I want to, as if I drink in the parks. I don't drink in the parks. I can get, you know, any type of Mexican food I want at the quick service from the most part, like an enchilada or burrito or tacos or something. But I do like La Cantina de San Angel. And if we're assuming we also get the atmospheres as well, I do like that they're right up against the lagoon, right? So you can have, if you can snag a seat, they're hard to get by sometimes, especially in peak hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get a seat by the lagoon.
Which we didn't know that there was more seating behind it. We just found out recently that there's more seating behind it.
But yeah, so that's why I went La Cantina de San Angelo. Mm-hmm. All right, what's your second quick service?
Mine was Lotus Blossom.
Oh, yeah, it was Lotus Blossom.
And like I said, that came in and out with a couple of other things. Like,
no, same here. I like Lotus Blossom.
But I like Lotus Blossom, and I said, I don't care that Yak and Yeti's on, because if I want a snack, I love Chinese food. I love Asian food. I just, if I'm going to eat, I don't get that a lot. We don't order out Asian a lot at home, first because it's fattening and it's salty and whatever, and I'm always watching when I'm home. So when I'm out, I want egg rolls. I want dumplings. Yeah. I want all that good stuff.
No, I agree. A Lotus Blossom Cafe is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The reason why I did end up taking it off, and I've said this in the past and I'll say it again, they do not have a veggie spring roll on their menu.
Yeah.
They only have, is it a pork spring roll?
Pork spring roll and pork dumplings.
Yeah, which is wild to me because Nine Dragons, the restaurant right next door, has a veggie spring roll on their menu, but Lotus Blossom Cafe doesn't. So I don't really know why they don't. But that's the only thing that makes me sad. I often have to go to the festival booth. They'll often have the veggie spring roll.
Sometimes they have it, right.
But yeah, Lotus Blossom Cafe in its current menu as of recording, they don't have that, which makes me very sad. My second quick service was Le Halles Boulangerie Patisserie.
Oh, yeah, the French.
Yes, the one in France. I picked them because they kind of have everything. You can get sandwiches, you can get paninis, you can get dessert foods, you can get snack type foods. Mm-hmm. They have such a wide range.
I have to admit, they're good.
Yeah, such a wide range of food that you can go to. For the most part, all these other places I picked didn't have anything sweet on the menu. And if you know me, you know I do love my sweets.
Right, so listen, I'm not a big
sweet
eater.
So I wanted a quick
service
that had a good selection of sweets overall.
I picked the ones that had the good food.
Yeah, and Le Halles definitely has lots of, you know, they used to have a better menu pre-COVID. So in the pre-COVID
days.
Yeah,
they haven't brought back the full thing
yet. They had more of a selection.
When you go in there, it's not as chock full of all the.
Yeah, they definitely had more of a selection back in the day, but post-COVID.
They took off my favorite dessert.
Yeah, the palmier cookies or the elephant ears.
That's what I used to get every time we used to go in there.
I would get that too if they still had that, because that is my favorite cookie as well, which is, makes me feel sad.
That's why I didn't make my list.
Yeah, we're not going to think about that right now. But I did want to add them because they do have other good foods there that I do get. So plus, I just need someplace that has something with a good sweets, lots of options. Right. It does have indoor seating, so it's like you can sit inside if you'd like. Mm-hmm. And it does have that little store next door, although we're counting that the store doesn't count because there's already a gift shop in this overall thing. But I do like that place a lot. Mm-hmm. And again, I like the idea that you can get a lot of different types of food there too, both hot and cold. Mm-hmm. So, okay, what is the one parade?
Actually, it was the Tapestry of Dreams that used to come through.
Yeah,
I used to love that at night when they used to come through with the big clock and the big drums and the uniforms and everything that used to come through. I used to love that. It was very big toss up between that and the Magic Kingdom parade, because I got to tell you, I love the characters too.
Festival fans,
it's very funny to see the festival, you know, come through and see all the different floats with the characters and different things. But somehow that Tapestry of Dreams, I just miss it. I really enjoyed watching that at night.
That's like, I had the nighttime electrical parade as well, because I thought that was such a cool parade too, like for the nighttime parades. As you can see, we like the nighttime parades.
Yes.
I know logistically
that
it's
was
very
a good
difficult
one.
For Disney to put on, but I did love the nighttime electrical parade as well. I thought it was so cool. Again, it's kind of similar. All the lights, all like the different moving parts on the floats, I just thought was amazing. I know the parade still exists. It's like the parade floats are currently, I think, in California, because Disneyland had a short stint of the electrical parade.
Yes, they did bring them back for a while.
Yeah, but I think now it's gone again. And again, I've heard from cast members.
I would love to see them bring it back to the Magic Kingdom when we were there.
Yeah, they say it's just a logistical nightmare for them to put on the nighttime parade. So it's a big safety hazard, which is fair. I get it, but it does make me sad because I do really like the nighttime electrical parade a lot, and I'm sad that it's gone for the time being. But again, the floats do still exist, so they could always bring it back.
Favorite
park,
then you'd have it.
Yep, we'd have that parade. Mm-hmm. All right, what's your one nighttime show?
The Happily Ever After, but I like the original version. They changed some of the songs in the new version.
They didn't.
No, they didn't change anything?
No,
you
it's
sure?
The same, yeah.
Oh, I thought that they changed one or two songs, but I love that one.
Yeah, no,
that's
I love
like
Happily
my
Ever
favorite.
After too.
I tell everybody, I don't care what you say, I've been to many, 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 many fireworks shows here, there, and everywhere, and nobody does it like the Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is like the best when they do just the tugs at your heartstrings. Nobody does it like this.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I also had Happily Ever After. I love Happily Ever After. Mm-hmm. I think it's such a great show. I think it has a lot of the classic Disney characters and Disney songs that you would expect to see in a show like this. And I think that's where Enchanted fell short, that Enchanted was trying to bring in a lot of the newer Disney shows and Disney songs that I think people love, but don't have that same emotional connection to as the more older and classic Disney characters and songs.
I think it's going to take some time for those to have
for
that.
For sure. We need another like 10, 20 years.
Right. You need the kids who have been listening to those and think that they're really fun
exactly,
to listen
to grow up and then
and
say,
remember their
know.
Childhood. Right.
No, I definitely agree. But right now I do. I love Happily Ever After. It's, it's my favorite nighttime show.
Because the kids love listening to it.
But you hear a sound. It's because my mom was rubbing the table.
Well, I'm sorry. I just realized that my cats scratched my kitchen table. Okay. I'm rubbing a scratch on my kitchen table. Anyway, I have these two new kittens that are driving me to drink. drink. Anyway, I think the kids love it but the adults have to feel it too.
For sure.
And I think that's why you need that break to bring that new stuff in.
And I love the fireworks too in Happily Ever After because you have full fireworks the whole show. And that's my favorite part. I love a fireworks show. I love the projection mapping on the castle too, but the
and
classic
the whole,
fireworks show.
I love that they did down the street. It's just down Main Street. It's just really cool. I don't think anybody that I've ever been anywhere does it like that.
Yeah. So I also picked that for my nighttime show. I have heard that some of the special nighttime shows at some of the after parties are supposed to be very good. Like I know the festival of the, or Mickey Christmas party. I forget
the Christmas party. I'm sure it's
that
good.
One's supposed to be one of the best ones that people have said, but I've never seen it before because we've never gone to that
party. We did that when you were like young. I mean, we're talking
young.
Well,
I'm sure it's changed by
then
too.
I'm sure it's changed so many times since then and you were young. I don't even remember what we did at night, but we were there. I remember it snowed on Main Street. We saw the parade come down. I don't remember the fireworks. I mean, I know they did the fireworks, but I don't remember most of it because it was so long ago.
Yeah. All right. So what's your one gift shop?
Main Street Emporium.
Okay.
To me, the Main Street Emporium is like my favorite gift shop because it's the classic, has everything, has a little taste of everything that you could possibly think of that you want. That's all rolled up into just walking through and seeing all the characters and the different things that they offer.
I do like the Emporium because you're kind of going through different rooms as you walk through, like it all looks a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I actually picked Creation Shop in Epcot because I really like Creation Shop.
I like
the
old Creation Shop better.
No, I actually like this current one the best. Mm. Yeah. I like that it's very different from the Emporium because again, the Emporium was all these small rooms that all connected with
The Emporium has more of a Victorian feel.
Yeah, which I do love, but I do like that big openness of Creation Shop as well. I think it's a lot easier to find things in Creation Shop, especially if you can't, if you feel like you're not really sure where it is because the room is basically one big room. So you can kind of walk around and find things. Whereas in the Emporium, you have to walk through this very long, skinny type of like area to try to find what you're looking for. And so for that reason, I do like Creation Shop in that sense. I also feel like Creation Shop has more items. I don't really know. Don't know if that's true or not, but I feel like when I go into Creation Shop, I tend to see more different types of items than I feel like I see when
I think every shop has different stuff. I mean, no matter where you go, I mean, there are so many different shops I love. I love the shops in Africa. We go through all, I mean, in Animal Kingdom, we go through all the shops in Animal Kingdom because I love to look at all the stuff and see all the new stuff. But every shop has some stuff that the other one doesn't have. I picked the Emporium because of its atmosphere, I think mostly.
Yeah.
That walking through, you're looking at all the stuff, but at the same time, there's the, you know, the atmosphere that goes with it.
Yeah, no, but yeah, that's kind of why I picked Creation Shop is more for like, it has everything in it. And that's because I think the Emporium is technically split into two sides. It's the left side and the right side. So in Creation Shop, it's all in one area, which makes it a lot more convenient in that sense. So I just really like Creation Shop. But all right, yeah, I guess that was our perfect parks right there. That was fun to do.
Yeah, I wish we had that. I wish I could go to that park and just like hang out and have all my favorite rides in one place.
In a way, it'd be so small because it'd only have five rides. Like think about the parks now. A lot of them have at least like 9 or 10 rides.
I know. I mean, we could go there for like 1 or 2 days and say, okay, we're done.
Yeah, and we can go home now. I know, we do it all. So.
Yes.
No, but I would love to hear how you would create your perfect park as well. So I will have a dedicated Instagram post on our Instagram, Spaceship Earth Design. Yeah, let us know in the comments of that Instagram post, what would you pick for your one land, your five rides, your two shows, two attractions, two table service restaurants, two quick service restaurants, one parade and one nighttime show, and one gift shop as well. Only pick from the parks. I realize I didn't mention this before, but we didn't pick from the resorts or Disney Springs.
Right, and that made it harder because like I said, a lot of times we do go out to Disney Springs and the hotels and different places.
Yeah, to eat is what she means. Yeah, for the restaurants.
So it made it harder to pick the restaurants, but try it yourself and see. It's not that easy. When you first think about it, you say, oh, I could do that. I'll just pick my top favorites.
Yeah, because you want to have some good diversity in your park as well.
Yeah, when you start thinking about it, you're like, wait a minute.
All right, so let's transition to a little bit of Disney news. So first up is that as of recording this, we are pre-recording this a few weeks in advance. So just please keep that in mind that some of this Disney news is a little bit outdated, but I still wanted to talk about some of these items. So the log flumes are being tested at Tiana's Bayou Adventure, both with and without test dummies. And so I wanted to shout that out because again, the park is supposed to be, or the ride is supposed to be opening in this summer in Magic Kingdom. So a lot of testing is happening. A lot of people are watching the water flowing. So I'm very excited to see what when this ride opens. And again, by time we go is not going to be until 2025, but excited for that. There are new costumes for the Main Street USA cast members. Honestly, I don't remember what their previous costumes looked like.
I kind of have a feel for when I think about it. So when I see when them, I may see the difference.
Yeah, when I saw the photos, I was like, they look pretty similar.
Yeah, they look similar to me too.
So hopefully they're comfortable for the cast members. I think that's what matters most. The water cooler and Figment's in the Journey to Imagination with Figment, the water cooler in Figment's upside down house has been fixed. So apparently for years, this water cooler, so when you're on the ride and you go through his upside down house, on the right side in the kitchen, he had a little water bubbler or water cooler that used to bubble. And then for years, it stopped bubbling. And Disney has finally fixed it. So they didn't announce they fixed it. One day, someone just looked up and said, wow, it's fixed. Now all the Disney journalists are posting about the water cooler being fixed. So I thought that was funny because I feel like I would not have noticed that. I don't remember it bubbling in the past, but apparently now it is bubbling upside down. There's a new macaroon line in the parks, like for merchandise. It's a very light blue. I feel like it looks more cotton candy than macaroon to me. I feel like as someone who does eat macaroons, I guess I just don't eat a lot of blue macaroons. I'm not really sure. But to me, it looks more of like a cotton candy blue color rather than a macaroon color, but a whole new line for that. And also speaking of merchandise, there is the new Dooney and Brooke merchandise featuring the characters from Wish. So Asha, Valentino, and Star have their own lines of, you know, luxury purses and wallets from Dooney and Brooke. They all look pretty cute for the most part, so I wonder how they'll do selling. The last thing I wanted to point out, this is actually from a couple weeks ago, if I'm being honest, but we just didn't talk about it, so I thought I'd talk about it now, was that for the Flower and Garden Festival, the Dante topiary, so the dog from Coco, he has his own little topiary. This is the first time Disney has done projection mapping on a topiary. So at night, his topiary is lit up with projection mapping.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah,
I saw
so
something
it looks
about
pretty cool.
It. No, okay.
Yeah, so he's the first one that they've done it to, which I think makes sense for the character, especially when you're in that that land, Coco. So I kind of like that they started it with him to see how, I guess, like what it would look like, to test it out to see how difficult it would be. And I wonder if it's successful with Dante, if they will bring that to other topiaries around the park. So I'm not really sure. Again, it'd only be at nighttime, of course, because you'd only really see the lights at night. But yeah, but I'm not really sure what that would bring for their future topiaries. So, but yeah, but I just thought that was pretty cool that they have brought projection mapping to something so small like that, to a topiary of dog,
right.
You know?
A little detail.
No, for sure. All right, and that's all the Disney news we had. Now, again, we are pre-recording, so all this is pretty outdated by the time this podcast episode comes out. So again, if there's things that are popping up this week that we're not talking about, I apologize.
Yes, sorry.
Right, let's do some Disney birthdays now. Our first Disney birthday is Peggy Carter on April 9th. So happy birthday to Peggy. She's a Marvel character. She's one of the main Marvel characters.
I didn't know who she was. I was like, who's Peggy
from,
Carter?
Yeah, from Captain America.
Okay.
We also have Disneyland Paris's 32nd anniversary on April 12th. Yeah. Disneyland Paris opened April 12th, 1992. So that was 32 years ago. So very exciting for Disneyland Paris. I did go to Disneyland Paris during their 30th anniversary celebrations, but yeah, now they're in their 32nd year. And then for two personal birthdays in our everyday lives, we have my cousin's child, Salvatore. His birthday is April 12th. So happy birthday to Salvatore on April 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And also happy birthday also on April 12th to my friend Gemma, who I know listens to our podcast every once in a while.
Happy birthday, Gemma.
So that's three things happening on the April 12th,
April 12th.
Is Disneyland Paris, Salvatore's birthday, and Gemma's birthday. So happy birthday to all three. I think that's so cool. You guys all get to share a birthday. It looks really funny in my calendar because I have all these things on the same calendar.
Right.
But that can transition into our final segment of the podcast, which is our Disney memory. Do you have a Disney memory for today's podcast?
Disney memory. It's so hard for me when we have to talk about Disney memories, because when we talk, I talk about all my memories while we're talking. I don't know. I think that my first memory, I'll just say, is my first time when we went to Yak and Yeti's. I'll never forget, because we went up there. You were young. We went in there, and it was just so amazing to me to go inside because of all the decor that was in Yak and Yeti's.
Yeah.
There was decor. There was stuff going on. We sat by the window, and when you looked out the window, you saw the flags, and you saw all of it. Well, it looked like Kilimanjaro was behind you, and you know, you're looking out at where it was and stuff. And when I think about it, to me, memory is a lot of like just going to these places for the first time and seeing all the detail, just looking around and, you know, I'm eating this great food, but at the same time, the chairs, the tables, the walls, the chandeliers were different. They were all. So when I think about memories, when you say memories, things just flow through my head. And flowed through my head was going to Yak and Yeti's for the first time.
Yeah. So for mine, it's when, so I think I shared this memory before, so I'll try and make this quick. But my partner and I, we went on Carousel of Progress for his first time. He'd never been on it. And I was so excited because, again, Carousel of Progress is my favorite show. So, you know, we had the little song, like, A Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. So we go through the first little section in the 20s, and then we get to the next section in, like, I guess it's like the 40s or something like that. And then we stay in there, and then the song comes on, and we don't move rooms. We just stay in that room. So then we watch the show again, and then it's like, all right, and then it goes to transition, and then we don't move again. So now we're in it for a third time. We're just like, well, should we just stay in here? What do we do now?
I know.
So we're just sitting there wondering what's going to happen. And then finally, towards the end of the third round, a cast member came in saying that. They asked us all to leave. So we ended up leaving. And so later on, though, I told my partner, Ted, I said, yeah, that is my favorite show. It's, you know, we'll have to go back and watch it again. And he told me, he's like, well, I guess it wasn't A Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow for us. That was it. And I said, like, I guess not. But one day we will get to watch the entirety of the show.
We'll go see it again.
Yes, I know that show can be tricky because my best friend Shannon, the first time she was on that ride, it got stuck where they were between two rooms. So it's like everyone was stuck between two rooms. And because of that, you can't leave because of that, because the doors aren't perfectly lined up. So it's a little bit dangerous for them to move. So because they're between two rooms as well, you can't listen to either story because you're between two rooms. rooms are actively going on.
From both sides.
So she said they were there, I think, for like 40 minutes or something that, stuck in that room. And she said afterwards, she hated that song. And that was always my joke growing up with her too, that I used to like sing that song to her because she hated it because they were trapped in that room for 40 minutes. So that was always kind of just like our inside joke between that. But
that's like when you get stuck in boat traffic and It's a Small World and they play the theme over and over again.
You're just trapped there and you don't know what to do. So, but I do still love it. I feel like I would have been okay because I do love the song overall. I've always had it memorized. But all right, thanks so much everyone for listening to this week's podcast. Make sure to give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or if you're listening on YouTube, to leave a comment below. Follow us on social media, Spaceship Earth Design. And again, I'll have that dedicated Instagram post to this episode so you can let us know. How would you create your perfect Disney park? I would love to hear it. But thanks so much for listening, everyone.